It said, rebuke before all what that others may fear.
Mm. Right.
The rest of Sunday morning, and no, I did not go up the road until the afternoon with the Goffs. Lord's will for us to be there. Thank the Lord for the message.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord rebuked this preacher. On the way here tonight, a man called me on the phone. He said, I thought you was my friend. I said, well, friends call people back, but hey. He said, I heard you were talking about me. I said, what did you hear? He told me. I said, what you heard is true. I said, a man asked me some questions about you. I just told him. He said, why didn't you call me? I said, because you never call me back and don't have your number. Bitter, full of malice, envy, strife, variance, hatred. Sat down in the chair. The Lord rebuked me again, said, you need to go call that man and tell him you're sorry. How foolish, how bullheaded to think that I'm right just because I'm preaching. And, you know, here's this guy who never calls me back, but didn't want anything to do with me. Run into him down there at the choke and puke. And, you know, it's awkward, it's weird, he's uncomfortable, he calls me up rebuking me. How dare he rebuke me? I called him back, said, I want you to know I'm sorry I said anything about you. I said, right or wrong, I'm sorry I spoke ill of you. Church, we need to be sensitive, not just in this meeting, but in our lives, be sensitive to what God has for us, to be sensitive, to be obedient to the things of God.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we go to church and there's such a grief to God. Because God is so grieved with us, his children. I don't think sinners grieving. Now, if they're in rebellion, then it needs to be dealt with. Open rebellion. But I think God's grieved because of his saints or those that profess his name are just so grievous to him.
Yeah.
That I don't think the average church service, I don't think God can move.
You're right.
Because that grief to him.
Sir.
Right. We know, you know this well, just reiterate things you know, but to quench the spirit is literally taking like you would coals of fire, take out wet blanket and to smother them, to quench them, wet them, to make sure that whatever's kindled is put out. And there are people that will quench the spirit of God in this service. It's just inevitable. I've been preaching for 11 and a half years, full time on the road. It's inevitable that somebody's going to quench that. They do not want God burning the hole in their heart where he's trying to burn a hole.
Right.
Then the average church you go to, there's just people that have grieved God. What is that grief? What is that father-son relationship? They grieve God because they sit there with things in their life that are an offense to God. God is chasing them. God is a good father. Just, by the way, them whom he loveth, he chasteneth and then scourgeth three times. He chastens his children. God deals with his children as children. It is a perfect picture of a father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship, father-child relationship. It's a perfect picture of how God deals with us. How do you grieve your parents? You just do those little nitpicky things that you know they hate, and you do it on purpose, and you try to hide it, cover it up, and hope they don't find out. Mm-hmm. When they do find out, what does it do, brother?
Yeah.
It's a grief. And I think we go into meetings, but I know we went into this meeting last Sunday. We've been here a while, for those of you that haven't been here with us all the time. We've been here since last Sunday morning. There's been times when the Spirit of God has moved in the service. There's been times when it's been very free and very loose. We had a tremendous giving service. We had a dear brother who was in a horrific accident, a preacher from Oxford, North Carolina. What do they call the forks on a trailer, on a 43-foot trailer, fell. The crank busted him up under the chin, busted his jaw, blew the side of his face out. He still has bone missing. He has to talk through his teeth. He can't open his jaw. That was back in June this happened. God's people came together, a little congregation about this size, raised up $1,015 for that brother. God was well pleased.
Right.
You see, sometimes y'all feel in meetings that it rises and falls, rises and falls. You feel just a touch of God, and you feel that grief, and you feel resistance, and you feel those that absolutely do not want to hear what God has to say. And you tell me where God's obligated to pound it into you. You tell me where God is obligated to force you to hear, to force you to listen. I tell you why people aren't hearing, that their ears are not circumcised, they cannot hear. Mm. They circumcise themselves in many ways, but they've never had the ears circumcised by the Spirit of God. They listen, they hear words, but the things of God that are spiritually discerned by the Spirit of God, they have no discernment over. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
This Bible is a closed book to them.
That's right.
They can understand it with their intellect, they cannot understand it in their soul because they don't spiritually discern what God has to say. Greatest teachers I've ever heard were men who were very intellectual, but had no faith. The greatest preachers I've ever known were men that weren't real intellectual, but they had faith. They believed God. Mm-hmm. Brother Herbert telling that story about being up that tree in Vietnam praying. I believe he told that story here, didn't he? I think I told you I never heard him tell that. I've been with him all these years. I never heard him one time tell that story about being up that tree praying in Vietnam.
Yeah.
God sent him peace, joy to his soul, hanging up in a palm tree in Vietnam. Wise man of faith taught me. And Brother Tim, learn how to believe God, trust God. God's going to take care of you. God's going to provide for you. God's going to meet your every need.
Sure he will.
It's the faith of some perverse generation. We know more about the Bible than any generation before us. Mm. Men have studied, men have produced books, men have produced documentaries, men have produced all the papers. We can know more about the Bible, about the history of the Bible, about the received text and what God intends for it and the underlying text, and we can trace this thing back. I mean, we know more about all of these things, but we have less faith than we've ever had in this day and this generation.
Right. Mm.
In 1 John chapter 1, he tells us why. When he said this in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, we can run, shout, rejoice. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Thank God for that.
Thank you.
But I sure hate to gloss over verse number 5 and verse number 6, where he said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light.
Amen.
And in him is, what's that next word, church? Help me out. No darkness.
Yeah.
At all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and what? Walk in darkness.
Mm.
We're not a very good person.
That's right.
If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, you know, we're just not really good people. I'm sugarcoating that. You know, that's what the average guy, the keep congregation, got sugarcoat people, Brother Vern. You'll learn that one of these days. Your congregation will grow, all the visitors you have. No, he said we lie. I bet you have people say, you shouldn't use those words. Lie, liar, lie. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth forever. I mean, that's what the Bible says about a liar.
Yeah.
Why? Because these are they that lie. This is the lie. This is the lie that is being told. I walk in light. I have fellowship with the Father. He said, if you walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. But then he says, you walk in the light. Because he is in the light. How do we know we're in the light? Because he's in the light. Then he said, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
The struggle, I think, with a lot of people is they do not understand the fellowship. So John told them this wise, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you.
Yes.
These are things that I have seen, I have heard. I'm telling you about this. Why? That ye may have fellowship. Now listen to the arrogancy of this statement. With us? That sounds pretty Pentecostal. Some of the average Baptist preacher I know. Every person who left this church has been wrong with God. We are the only church in this area that's living for God. This us, this is the fellowship. This little group of believers, this is the fellowship. Anybody outside this fellowship is not right. No. Us is in threefold. It's that. With us being me, John, with the Father, and his Son,
Dad.
Jesus Christ. Therein is fellowship.
Amen.
It's not just friendship.
Right.
Right.
Friendship can be bought. Friendship can be won with a gift. Friendship can be won with acquaintance. And friendship can be won with familiarity. Friendship can be won in any manner of living. By the way, I do have some real friends. I thank God for that.
Sir.
Don't have to worry about it. It's those friends you got to worry about that really aren't your friends. Those friends you're waiting for them to pull the carpet out from underneath you. The friends that you have that you're sitting by watching and they should have pulled the carpet out from underneath you. They should have broke off your friendship. They should not talk to you anymore. And all of a sudden the phone rings, it's them on the phone. You go, okay, that's a friend. I've been abusive. I've been a jerk. I've lied about them. I've talked about them. I've mishandled them. I've been absolutely unchristlike to them. And you know what? They still love me. That's a friend.
Yeah, right.
This brother was privy to it. I wish you all could have been there. No, I'm just joking about that. I got in a knockdown, drag out, everything but fist fight last year in this meeting. We're sitting in a restaurant. Man slammed his hand on the table, challenged something I said that I believe was right, I believe was authoritative. I slammed my hand down on the table. Hour later, 45 minutes later, Brother Vernon hadn't said a word. He's turning purple. He liked to crawl under the table and die. Going back and forth across the table, back and forth across the table, back and forth across the table. Man's lost without Christ. Needs the Lord. Man needs to understand the scriptures. You say, why would you do that to somebody? Here's my friend.
That's right.
The man's a multimillionaire. Some of you know who I'm talking about. It's okay. He's a multimillionaire. Who knows what he's worth? Everywhere he's gone, people have bowed down, cowed down, right. Bowed down to that dollar.
Yeah.
He's never been wrong because of his money.
That's right.
It is his, that wealth is his high power, as the proverb says.
That's right.
I was a friend to him.
Sir.
Right.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Amen. Amen.
But deceitful are the kisses of an enemy.
That's right.
See, a friend can hurt you. They're still your friend. But John's talking about something beyond friendship. He's talking about a friend that does stick closer than a brother. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Well, who's one with another? I know we always like to think he's talking about the church. One with another. You realize it's two-way fellowship. You know, I used to think it was this. He speaks, and I listen. But as a young Christian, I learned this. When I speak, when I'm in fellowship, walking in the light as he is in the light, he listens.
That's good.
He said, that's why the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. What is effectual? It's having an effect. It's touching God. Touching the heart of God, we're in fellowship with him. When we pray with an effect, it touches the very heart of God.
Right.
And we're in fellowship with him. The effectual fervent prayer with fervency. Boy, I always liked that. I remember Donnie Harvey talking about that. Mm-hmm. Took his preacher boys up there to meet in Tennessee. We're in Tennessee of all places. He said, they fell across that altar and began to pray. You have to know Brother Donnie Harvey. I mean, Brother, you can actually submit it over to Donnie Harvey. I mean, Brother, I'm a true Yankee, soft-spoken Southern Baptist preacher compared to this brother. When he gets wound up, you can't understand a word he says. He says, I'm stupid with God, I'm fast, I'm fast, I'm fast, I'm fast, I'm woo! His boys got to pray up on that altar. I'm there up there praying, calling on God, beating on the altar. As he's done, that man come up to me, he said, that man come up to me, he said, Brother, he said, next time I think I'll just call one of the boys to pray. It should be the foundation of what they believe. He said the effectual fervent prayer, praying with fervency, praying with feverishness, with a burning in your soul. He said it availeth much if you're a righteous man. It's not for the show of the flesh. It's when you go in your closet and you shut the door and you pray The God that heareth you in secret, and I'll paraphrase a little bit, he heareth in secret. Guess what he does? He rewards you openly.
Yeah.
There's three things in that chapter you do in secret. God rewards it openly. The second is when you fast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to thank God I can fast again. I want to bless the name of the Lord for that. He helped me. Can I get a quick word of testimony with the golf? You brought this up. Let's go ahead and give a quick word of testimony. It's been almost a year ago now. I went down to the VA. All I knew, I thought I had a cold, thought I was just sick. We went down to the VA. I was hoping to, you know, maybe get a decongestant or do something so I could hardly breathe, couldn't hardly think. They took my blood work. They said, Mr. McVeigh, we need to go on metformin, you're diabetic. I told my wife, I said, I expected with my family history and everything, I didn't expect at 45 years old. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, honey. We got to do something. So I'm praying about that. And I remember we're in the car going around Dulles Airport, Washington National Airport, Washington, D.C., picking my sister up from the airport. My wife was with me. I remember weeping over the matter. I remember telling my wife, I can't fast. There is this God dealing with me. When you could fast, you didn't fast.
Mm.
Now you can't fast. I remember saying, honey, what am I going to do? God just began to open up doors of wisdom, began to lead me to lost people who are willing to help. Dr. Jason Fong, he's a lost second-generation Chinaman out of Toronto, Canada. IntensiveDietaryManagement.com. Began to read articles about how to lose weight and how to keep weight off and reduce your blood sugars. And within 2 months, to God be all the glory. I don't want to take any glory for this, but I was non-diabetic. I had not been diabetic since early February. God's kept my blood sugar down, kept my A1Cs down. I want to thank the Lord. It was discipline, but it was God that gave me that discipline. And I remember getting up on this first couple of days and I could fast and just weeping, rejoicing, thanking God. So I could fast in secret, and the Lord which seeth in secret could reward openly.
It's good.
Amen.
Man.
And he said, when you give in secret, the Lord sees in secret your giving.
Sure.
You know what he does? You say, how does he reward you openly? Well, the church has you stand up and everybody applauds. No, openly means it's done in the open and you know it's gone.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean everybody's going to cheer for you. Right. Oh, Brother Goff was praying for me. What a prayer warrior. Here's your reward, brother. God doesn't reward that. God doesn't reward us with the applause of men. God doesn't reward us with the things of this world, the gain of this world. The open reward is knowing that God heard us. Why? Because God answered prayer. And God saw us fast. And God saw us give. And the reward is for us to know that God saw it.
Yeah.
God's always rewarded his children. This is a word of testimony for me. Just take out for what it is. I want to thank the Lord for it.
It's good. Thank God.
Regeneration, they don't fast because they don't pray.
That's right.
Those old farmers used to have to pray. Lord, save my crops. Lord, save my cattle. Lord, save my fields. Lord, save my lands.
Right.
Now they just call the University of North Carolina A&T and say, hey, save my field. Here comes a big buggy truck, drops the arms, they spray whatever chemicals on there they need to save the field. They say, it's a drought year, what are we going to do? They say, well, plant drought-resistant crops. They modify seed, get those genetically modified seeds, put them in the ground. Crop still comes up. It's not as good as it has been other years, but it still comes up. Farmer stays in business. The farmer doesn't need to pray.
That's right.
But when a man's sitting there looking at the grasshoppers eating his field, and he's looking at the drought destroying his crops, and the milk cows withered up, and his children are hungry, and the apple trees have dropped their blossoms due to the frost. You know, a man learns how to do, he learns how to pray.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, right. When his family's starving, he learns how to pray with fervency.
You better believe it.
He learns how to pray to get a hold of God.
That's right.
What is it going to take for us to pray? What is it going to take for us to be in fellowship with the Father and know that the Father hears us and responds to us? What is it going to take? It's going to take fervency in our prayer. Bear with me on this. I'm not mocking. If you don't pray, may God help you. If you do pray, I'm thankful you do pray. But I have a feeling, you know, our church does a prayer list every week when we're home. I'll tell you last time we were home. October 25th, look at that. Isn't that a blessing? Got a new prayer list, honey. That's September 11th, September 2nd. I mean, that's the way it usually is with us. Got one from October 25th. That's just been about a month ago. I looked out over this list, there's needs, there's souls that are lost, there's people that are sick, there's people dying to go to hell, we got our missionaries. Well, Tim and Rebecca McVeigh, services traveling. Rebecca, pregnancy due March 8th. Well, that's an easy one to pray for there. Right? They don't they? Going down to these missionaries, going down to these... Here's those with physical needs. Here's others. President Trump. Boy, I'm glad that name changed. You said pray for the other guy. I guess you'll pray for him now that he's on the prayer list. Amen. You go on down. I'm joking about that now. Pray for all these churches that don't have pastors. Pray for our local pastors going down. Again, here's all the physical needs. And then here's our little list about salvation, about one-third of the physical needs. You know, life is so burdened with people because they're out of fellowship with the Father.
Oh, boy.
The average Baptist, and bear with me, for you soul winners, you just listen to me. The average Baptist has not a clue how to get a person from point A to point B, to even bring them to the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to even get them to hear the gospel, let alone respond to the gospel. Why? Without fellowship. If you walk in darkness, and you're telling folks you're in fellowship with God, you lie, and you do not the truth. I knew those liars when I was lost. We used to sit down on the stools down at the pub, discuss our theories of God. Here I am, 22, 23 years old, discussing our theories about God and what we think about God. You know, because a drunk always knows best. And I'm just weird, obscure, but I remember defending things that I knew were right for my childhood. You know, here's these fools down the bar stool. They can't get out of the bar. They can't separate from sin. They cannot come from a life of sin. But they're going to sit down and argue about God and discuss God. And I'm just telling you right now, my friend, there was boldness in it. There were fights over it. They'd be shoving people, yelling at people, throwing beer on people. Why? Because these discussions about God. Now, can I just use that for a second and say this? Where are those that are earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints in this day and in this hour?
Yeah.
They have no clue what the Bible says. They know what all the books say. They know what all the documentaries say. They know what all the so-called Christian movies say. They know all the top 10 books at the Christian so-called bookstore, but they don't know what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And people confound them and confuse them just by asking simple questions.
Right.
You know why they're not out of fellowship with the Father? I'll say this. I commend you, Pastor Vernon. I know I want to be carnal, don't expose your carnality, but be honest. How many of you sat through the Sound of Music, the whole thing? Be honest, raise your hand. How many of you sat through the Sound of Music, the whole thing? Okay, my wife's wicked, he's wicked, okay. Okay, well let's get a little bit closer to home. Will that be okay? Can we get a little bit closer to home with that?
Sure.
What's that Civil War movie I'm thinking of, that one that's 4.5 hours long? They drug out there, you know what I'm talking about, what's that one, honey? Scarlet, that wicked woman. You said, you can't watch that. She's an adulteress. I said, man, he smacks her in the face and curses at her. What's the name of that man? Anyway, I'm not trying. 4.5 hours long. They had an intermission in the middle. People would go to the movies. They'd sit there for 2 hours. They'd have intermission. They'd go get popcorn. They'd come back in. What are you carnal folks talking about? Gone with the Wind. Yeah, you all remember Gone with the Wind? That line is long, buddy. You know, they'd sit in the theater for 4 hours in theater seats and watch these movies. I remember sitting there 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2.5 hours, sitting there watching it. Brother Vernon, the first time I've come to the new church over here, I was over in the old community building a couple times with him. I come over here to the new building, and I remember thinking to myself, theater seats. And I sat down for the first time. And I thought to myself, man, this is a blessing. I mean, even Brother Zach Sunday School didn't seem that long sitting in theater seats. Listen, they're designed to let you sit there a long time and be comfortable.
Amen.
Pretty comfortable, aren't they, preacher?
Yeah.
They're not too bad.
Right.
I mean, I don't get to sit down much here. Usually I'm standing up here. I don't get to sit down much. But the design, we can sit here for a long time and enjoy the things of God and take our time in the things of God. Now, our church back home, they got wooden pews. Squared off, flat back, wooden pews.
Hey.
Pastor Black preached about an hour. He usually preaches about 40 minutes. The services are an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes on the more flat back wooden pews. Usually folks are squirming about it. And I thought many times, boy, we just need theater seats. That's what we need. We need to go down to the house of God and let God meet with us and worship God. Hey, listen, not until we're done, but until God is done.
Amen.
Not when we're finished, but when God is finished. Sometimes it's 4.5 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours.
That's right.
And I don't want to drag this out just to say, oh, we went till 9:15. You know, just so I can go brag about how long the church. I've been in a long church service and we're dead as a hammer.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But I was sitting in the house of God too. It was 11 o'clock. I didn't mind it one bit.
Oh, that's right.
Sunday morning, I sat in here for just a couple minutes. Thank God for it. God was done. I may not have been done, but God was done. God said, go on home. You know why? I think there's a lot of folks out of fellowship.
Sure, buddy.
I think when God cuts it off a lot of times, when the folks just say, I'm done. A little switch in the ear. I'm done.
Yep.
I'm finished. Okay, that was just the warm up. Let's get the message. John said this, that which was from the beginning, verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, and this is what he said,
man,
of the word of life.
Praise God.
John said on this wise, he said, we have seen it, and bear witness. He said, I have looked upon it, seen with our eyes, we have heard, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Mm-hmm.
John said, I saw him, I heard him, and there's John leaning on his breast. He said, my hands have handled him,
yeah,
the word of life. You say, well, John had an unfair advantage. People say this all the time. If I had have been there, can I be honest? If that's what you think, I'll tell you where you would have been. You'd have been with the multitude standing far off. That's where you would have been. You might have been with Peter down there with a cotton crew 3 times, and he was ashamed. He went out and wept because of his shame, because he would not identify with Christ. Because we, in this day and this hour, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us.
Right.
People say, oh, if I could just see Jesus Christ. I saw him.
There he is.
I've seen him. I don't know what his face looks like, but I've been in his presence.
That's right.
I've handled him. I've looked upon him. I've heard him. I've heard his voice.
It's good.
He said, oh, if I just had experience where Jesus would come to me. He has come to us.
I believe it.
It's a life of faith. It's not a life of handling. It's not a life of touching. It's not a life of tangible things. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There is a substance to faith. What is that substance? It's the word of God.
Right.
This is the substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence? It's the word of God is the evidence.
Yeah.
If you don't have a Bible, you cannot have faith. If you don't believe the Bible, you will not have faith. John said, I've seen him, I've heard him, I've touched him, my hands have handled him. So what did John do with it? He said, I am going to tell you. I'm going to bear witness what Christ did for me.
Right.
Now, in verse 2, he said this. He said, for the life was manifested. That means it came to fruition, that which was not. And we have seen it and bear witness. Why? Mm-hmm. And show unto you that eternal life that was with the Father, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, eternal life has been with the Father all along.
Sure.
What is eternal life? It's Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
He's been with the Father since the beginning. This life was manifested in the flesh. He which always has been, he which always will be,
yeah,
was manifested who? Unto us.
Yeah.
Yes.
John said, I've seen him. I've heard him. My hands have handled the word of life. This life, eternal life, was with the Father. It was manifested where? Unto us.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. He hath given unto us eternal life. Again. People, a lot of times, get confused, just in case. There's someone here, maybe doesn't understand. I would assume most of us do, but just in case. Everlasting life has a beginning with no end. that's everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should what? Have everlasting life.
Yeah.
You realize he said that in the same chapter. Ye must be born again. This is a starting point. Let me tell you when everlasting life started for me. April 20th, 1997. 5:32 in the evening. 5:30. I always change the time. It was around 5:30 in the evening. Just north of Harrisonburg, Virginia. Everlasting life started for Timmy. I am never going to die.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
This body may die, but I'm not going to die. Why? He hath given us everlasting life. Well, then why did John say he hath given to us eternal life? Well, the difference is simply this. Eternal life has no beginning.
Right.
Jesus Christ has no beginning and no end. Why? He is eternal in the heavens.
It was Jesus.
He is the eternal God.
Hey.
And can I say to you, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost, are all eternal in the heavens.
Right.
And this life was manifested unto us.
Hey.
Jesus Christ, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? We, which were under the law, might receive the adoption of sons.
That's right.
He's given to us eternal life. It has no beginning and it has no end. We are eternal in Jesus Christ. Right. Eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. Now here's what John told us in John 5. 1 John 5. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Mm-hmm. You say, I thought I had everlasting life. We got both.
We have it all, son. We got it all.
You have no beginning. You have no end.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what God did for us? Those of us that are saved, you didn't know you're saved. You're saved, man. Help me out.
Amen.
He birthed us again.
Man.
And when he did so, he gave us what? Everlasting life. I got a birthday. I can go to that birthday. I can take you to that birthday. I can just, for what it is, I looked it up one time just out of curiosity. It's Adolf Hitler's birthday. I was birthed on Adolf Hitler. We say, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. But I was born again that day. It's only famous person born that day, April 20th. Nobody wants to admit it. All the celebrities, they scratch it off, change their birth records. Nobody wants to be born on Hitler's birthday. I was born again on Hitler's birthday. I'm not ashamed of that. It'll go down in the history books, in the record of heaven for all the ages, April 20th, 1997. Somebody will go, that was Hitler's birthday. The Lord said, no, that's the day Tim McVeigh was born again and received everlasting life.
Amen.
Good.
1 John 5, in verse 11, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in who? His Son. Now, who is God then? Well, that's the eternal Godhead. Talking about the Son of God. By the way, in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ is the Father, in Jesus Christ is the Word, and in Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost bodily.
Mm.
Now, I could have fit now, people get all twisted around about that. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but in him, you cannot separate the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Hey. These three are one, the Bible tells us.
That's right.
I don't use the word Trinity because it's an offense to some preachers I know. And then every April, I go to Trinity Baptist Church in CK, Pennsylvania, and I don't say much about it there. But I know some preachers, they're offended by the word Trinity. So when you say Trinity, they kind of buck up and bow up, and you know. So I use the word Godhead. And that's what the Bible uses, it's the Godhead. It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, these three are one. Now, in this, he said, in the record that God hath given to us eternal life, this life is the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is eternal life.
Right.
In Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is eternal in the heavens. And he's given to those that know him, those that have come to repentance, those that have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath given to them everlasting life from the time they were born again to the time that they'll never die. They're everlasting. But he also gave them eternal life, which is in Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Why? He is eternal life. No beginning and no end. You and I in Christ have no beginning and no end.
Amen.
In Christ. If a man hath not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his.
Right.
I think a lot of people have convinced themselves they have the Spirit of Christ because they sing good, they shout good, they'll brag about how the Spirit moved them. But what they do not have is they do not have that living word on the inside.
Oh boy.
Right.
You see, when the written word is spoken, preached, hollered, spit, snotted, snarled, softly given, wept, cried, you name the manner of delivery, when the written word is given, for every saint of God that has the Spirit of Christ on the inside, there's an identifying spirit in them that identifies with this written word. And on the inside, there's an amen, or every once in a while, if you're a child of God, there's an oh no. Didn't want to get too spiritual on you. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Ah! That's me. That's not good.
Right.
And this is the confidence which we have in him.
Yeah, amen.
This is the confidence we can have in him, he said. Why? If we ask anything, according to his will,
right,
he hears us. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Right.
How's your prayer life? How can you know how to ask according to the will of God? Well, let's go to Romans 8. We'll read that verse because I'm certain not going to quote that because I'll certainly tear that to pieces and be an embarrassment to myself. I don't want to do that. So let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And he said this, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. He said if we pray according to his will, he heareth. How do we pray according to his will? Well, he tells us what the perfect will of God is for every one of us. It is the will of God. He is not willing that any should perish,
right,
but that all should come to repentance.
Thank God.
That's the first will of God. Secondly, he is willing, this is the perfect will of God concerning you, by the way, you abstain from fornication.
Yeah.
That's the will of God.
Right. Mm.
It's the will of God that the children of God give thanks unto his name. That is the will of God for you.
Yeah.
You see, what God's trying to do in every child of God is to establish, strengthen, and settle them according to his will. So you say, well, how do I know if I'm praying for the will of God? Because you pray according to the scriptures, according to what you know the will of God is for your life. You pray with what? Thanksgiving. You pray, Father, deliver me from evil, according to his will. What did Jesus pray for us? Father, keep them from the evil of it. Talking about what? The world. So Jesus prayed that on our behalf. We pray that on our behalf. Lord, keep us from the evil. You say, well, how do I know if I'm missing God's will? Well, just in case you don't know what to pray for. Because, by the way, you think you have need. Let's say money. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't want to bore you with this. I'll tell you a quick story. Back when I first went to evangelism, I had 160,000 miles on my Camry. That's 160,000 miles. That's about 130,000, I think, when I started out. And about 160,000, I said, you know what? This car is going to wear out. I need a new car. I used to send out prayer letters because preachers said, hey, send me a prayer letter. Not one person ever wrote me. Not one person ever mailed me a check. I said, fooey on that. I'm saving me $16.52 in stamps every month. Amen. Yeah. We're sending out prayer letters. I sent a prayer letter out in about 9 years. I sent a prayer letter saying, you know, would you pray about this? Would you think about, you know, I could use a vehicle. And, you know, would you pray? I've got 160,000 miles in this Camry. Would you pray? God would write, you see, because I thought that's what God would have for me. Some of you know the story, know it best. I sold it to my nephew 2 Januaries ago. It had 456,000 miles on when I sold it to him. And here I am, foolish enough to pray for a new vehicle. How silly of me. So my wife and I got a new vehicle finally. We got this minivan. We haul our junk in it. And by the way, we're going to need something probably bigger than a minivan. This baby comes along. Our van's packed to the ceiling now. We don't have our luggage in it, let alone a baby in there. What are we going to do? Probably get a van to haul all this stuff in. And the first thing we did, we had to put new tires on this thing. Second, we had to put new drivetrain in that thing. The rack and pinion steering went out on. I'm telling my wife, I sure missed the Camry. He said, what happened 8 years prior to that, I was praying, Lord, would you please provide me with a new vehicle? You see, I thought I was praying according to the will of God.
Yeah.
But the Lord knew what I really needed. Here's the Lord knew I needed the Toyota Camry. It was going to run 456,000 miles. To God be all the glory. The Lord knew exactly. That's a little car illustration, but the Lord knew exactly what I needed. So we pray according to what we think is the will of God for us, and we do pray, try to pray according to the will of God. Then the Bible said this, for we know not, verse 26 of Romans 8, what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now here's where most people stop, because that's great when the Spirit of God is groaning on your behalf. That's a marvelous and a wonderful privilege allotted to the saints of God.
Yeah.
God would think enough of us to groan on our behalf for what we really have need of.
Right.
I'll give you an example. Father, and by the way, we do pray in His name.
Right.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you help this head cold? He said, Spirit makes intercession for what? Our infirmities. He said, the Lord knows you don't have a head cold. I had a friend that happened to you, Brother Frank. Thought he had a head cold. Kept going to the doctors. The doctor said, give him medication for about 3 months. He said, I can do something else. They ran that whole CT scan. Found a big old tumor behind his nose. Had cancer up in his sinus cavity. And here I am praying for a head cold.
Mm.
But the Spirit knows what we need.
Yes, sir.
If we're in fellowship.
Right.
You see, many among us are sick. Bible even says some even sleep because they took of the cup of the Lord unworthily.
Right.
There was sin in their life. And they went ahead and just took that cup without any thought given to it.
Try, buddy.
And by the way, that's the cup. They said, you know what? Regardless of what the Bible tells me, I'm going to pretend like there's no sin in my life. I don't want anybody to know I'm a hypocrite and a fraud and a liar. And I'm going to go ahead and take that cup of the Lord's table, and I'll take that to myself, and in doing so, you have drunk damnation.
Right.
That means destruction, utter destruction to you. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. It means you've drunk damnation to yourself. That's why James tells us, any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Why? They'll anoint him with oil. Lay hands on him, anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he have committed any sins, they'll be forgiven.
Yeah.
It's good.
There's a lot of people sick. Brother, I don't know how we got from point A to point B, but we're here now. There's a lot of people sick.
Oh, yeah.
And they're praying for their sinus problem. And that's not their problem.
That's right.
Their problem is deep down in the soul that they cannot understand, they cannot fathom. And it's because that sin is hardened up in their soul. And they come to church, they play the hypocrite, they take the cup of the Lord's table, and they ingest that cup, and that unfermented, new, good Welch's wine. Amen. And they take that cup unto themselves, and in doing so, it's made them sick.
Sir, buddy. Yes, sir.
You realize the Spirit is making an intercession on our behalf because of our infirmities. Because we don't even know what we have need of. Mm-hmm. You realize most of us are praying for money. And that's the last thing we need. But it's all we pray for. Wisdom.
Right.
You know why God doesn't, brother, I think you said it this week, you know why God doesn't give a lot of people money? They don't have the wisdom to deal with it. They do get it.
Right.
As behind felt at Speedway several months ago, and he went and had a scratch-off ticket, handed to the girl. The girl said, you won $25, such and such and such and such. And, you know, oh, man, I guess you want that in cash. He said, no, give me more tickets. What did I tell you? He said, like, less than $25,000 is not going to make a dent anyway.
Mm.
That's wisdom. That's the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of people today. That's the thinking of man today.
Right.
If that man needs it, he needs wisdom. The Lord give us wisdom to get wealth. What is wealth? Everybody goes, oh, it's money. No. Wealth can't be measured. You might live in the poorest house with the poorest car in the poorest suburb of town. But if you have wealth, you have knowledge. You have a trove of wisdom that God has given you. That wisdom is wealth.
That's right.
Now you'll see that today. Why? Because they're so steeped in financial concern.
Right.
They work. What does Solomon say? It's all vanity.
Yep.
They lay up store and they'll leave their rich, spoiled, rotten children. The man walks with God. What is he leaving his children? He's leaving them a heritage. So the Spirit of God is praying on our behalf.
That's good.
Why? Because we don't know what we have need of.
Yeah.
What can be money? The Spirit of God is growing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need money. They need to get right with God. They don't need money out of fellowship. They don't need money. There's something between my soul and the Savior. I don't need wealth. I don't need cash. I don't need cars. I don't need the things of this world. Why? Because there's something between me and God. And I need that fellowship more than I need anything in this world. I need that fellowship between me and the Father. And he said this, that fellowship is with his Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's who the fellowship is with. How's that work? Well, I'm pretty sure if we've been grafted in, we've received the adoption of sons, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. That's your question. If we're in fellowship with the Father, and he's in fellowship with the Son, and we're in fellowship with the Son, we're all just in fellowship together. Who's more important in that fellowship? He said we received the adoption of sons.
That's right.
I'm coming through Jesus Christ. I have the Spirit of Christ. I cry, Abba, Father. Do you think the Son ever says, hold on, Father, don't take a back seat to me. I'm your Son. Just ask a hypothetical question. Father, hold on. He's going to take a back seat to me because I'm your Son. You know, he's just adopted. I'm his one that's freeborn. No longer a stranger, no longer a pilgrim, no longer a wanderer. I'm as one as freeborn in Israel. I've received the inheritance of the Son. So what does that mean? We come to fellowship. It's the Father, the Son, and Tim McVeigh. And these three are not one, but they're in fellowship. If we walk in the light. You see, that spirit of adoption has been given to every child of God, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. You know, as a child of God, that's right with God, that's in fellowship, and all he has to do is open his mouth and say, Father, the Father which heareth in secret.
Yeah.
Rewards openly.
Yeah.
If we walk in the light. John bore witness of that fellowship. In John 17, I'm not going to turn to this for the sake of time, but in John 17, when Jesus prayed on our behalf, time's out the window. Let's turn to John 17. I said I did the highlights, but that's the whole chapter. John 17, verse 4. Let me start there and just read a couple of verses. He said this, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And then in verse 8, he says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And Jesus said this, I pray for them.
Yeah.
I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. How about that? As Jesus fellowships with the Father, he's not glorified them. Who? These little peons on earth. They wouldn't know their way in a lit room if it wasn't for the goodness of God. Wouldn't know their way in the brightest sunny day if it wasn't for the goodness of God. They stumble around as blind, they wander in darkness, call it light. It's any wonder he says the glorious light of his gospel. The glorious light of Jesus Christ. The glorious light. He, Jesus, said, I am the light. If you'll come to him, you'll not walk in darkness. What fellowship. What a closeness. That we can come into the fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And that they would include me in that fellowship.
That's right.
How glorious. How wonderful. How terrifying. If God would allow me to enter into that fellowship. It's not just friendship. Fellowship. I don't know how we got where we did, but we're here. There's only one question I have. Really, the message is this. John said, our desire, the reason we preach this, is that you could be in this fellowship. We have fellowship one with another. Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but keep them from the evil.
Amen.
Father, thy hour is come. You realize John is sitting there listening to these words. John is looking upon Jesus Christ as he speaks these words. And then John goes into that upper room, not just shortly, henceforth, and lays his head on the breast of the Lamb of God and tells us, I've seen him, I've heard him, I've handled him, and I want you to get in on this because there's no better place to be.
Oh my.
Then the fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If that's too mystical for you, just go home and burn your Bible and join the Mormons. Because that's what the Bible says.
That's right.
It's always been right, and it's always going to be right.
Right.
It is very real. It is very true. And some of you don't have it. Well, you got church, you got religion, you got standards, you got all of these things that amount to absolutely nothing but a show of the flesh. What you do not have is an open avenue whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Try.
Father, hear me. Father, keep them from the evil. Are you in fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ? I can ask you this, saints of God. Did you used to be in that fellowship? Sins and iniquities have hid his face from you. Caused his ear to turn from you. But because of your sin. And God's offering you, down in verse 9, I believe it is, we confess our sins.
Yeah.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plurality. That means everyone we confess, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Could go back a couple verses. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How do we get there? We've got to run forward to verse 9. You see in verse 1, chapter 2, here is verse 2. If, not when, if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah.
Why? Fellowship. Jesus Christ the righteous. What is it? He's propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, for the sins of the whole world. You see, it's not just unique to me, it's not just unique to this preacher, that preacher, that preacher, that preacher, their wives, children. No, it's the sins of the whole world. And He wants you in that fellowship. There's people outside that fellowship saying, you know, I just don't believe that. I just don't think that life exists. I don't think that life's real. They live in doubt. They live in fear. They live in scorn. They live in the shame and the reproach of their life. And they say, I just don't believe that exists. John said it did.
Yeah.
John said, I heard Him. I touched Him. I saw Him. And I'm declaring this unto you. You know why? He's, I saw Him as the light of the world. And there's no darkness in Him. So if there's darkness in your life, I said, if there's darkness in your life, it's not because of God. It's because of you.
Amen.
I want to thank You for the fellowship He's given me.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Thank You that I can pray. I want to thank You that He answers according to His will and not mine. Well, thank you, it's an open door. I can come boldly,
yes,
to the throne of grace. You say, what is that boldness? I've always illustrated it like this. There's times that you pray like Jesus. John 17, Holy Father, and you just go into your communication with your Father. Thank You for being merciful. Thank You for being good. Thank You for Your kindness. The offering of thanksgiving. The offering of praise.
Right.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that is made. It's not we ourselves. We're the sheep of His pasture. Coming in there as a sheep into the gates of praise and into His courts and coming before Him. There's times we pray that way. You realize it's a very present help in trouble.
Yeah.
That's when you come boldly. When you get that call in the middle of the night, you got to come down to the hospital. There's no time for the fluff. And I don't mean that with disrespect. God likes the fluff. I like the fluff. As long as it's sugar-free whipped cream, I like it. Nothing's vegetable, soy, trash. Real whipped cream. Amen. I like the fluff. There's times you gotta skip the fluff. Help!
That's right.
You call, hey, it's been an accident. Help! Hey, you gotta go to the funeral home. Help! Got that old six-letter curse word. Cancer. The time for fluff.
That's right, buddy.
Have mercy. He's a very present help in trouble. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? We need help. We need mercy. There is a time of need. Because that's all most people have. They have a God of trouble that they pray to. Bad news comes, all of a sudden they learn how to pray. And Billy Mitchell made a great statement. I'm done with this, except for everything else I'm going to say. He said, I'm glad I prayed when I could pray.
About that.
Dump truck hit him. Went to the coma, unconscious in the hospital for months. He's an old man. My brother Mitchell's a frail old man.
Right.
Just about destroyed. He said, I was so sick, I couldn't. And he said, you were so sick you couldn't pray? And I thought, oh, dear goodness, Brother Mitchell. Mm. I want to thank God I'm not being so sick I couldn't at least murmur something. He said, I was so sick I couldn't pray. He said, I'm glad I prayed when I could. I tell you, you're going to regret not praying. That's when you get out of the hospital, when you get out of the clinic, when you go in the maternity room, when you go down to the doctor's office. That's when you're going to regret not praying.
Yeah, right.
My wife will come to me, some of you know my story. She'll come to me and say, honey, why hasn't God given us a baby? You have to know her husband. Her husband's a jerk. He says, well, hold on. There's times that weighs on you. How come all these wicked women in this world can have children? And here we've tried to honor God, tried to have a home that honors God. We've had two babies in the past. God's laid up, God's raised them for us. And that's a great privilege, but I like God to raise one.
Yeah. Sure.
We pray. I wouldn't gouge them, but just say, honey, hand, pray. And then pray. She said, honey, I know, but it's hard. She said, it's hard. I said, pray. God knows what we need. God knows when we need it. But they, how loving and caring her husband is. She taps me on the shoulder, but honey, is this embarrassing? If it is, you just tell me, and I'll just keep telling it anyway. Taps me on the shoulder one morning, she's got this little plastic little thing, you know. She says, honey, is there two lines on that? I'm like, yeah. Honey, I'm like, why? Are you sure? I'm like, yes. 5 minutes later, she's waiting for a change. Honey. I finally woke up. I said, God's hurt us.
Amen.
God's hurt us. He hurt us all these years. He just knew what we needed.
That's right.
Is that thing still in my bookcase? I told my wife, you're the person I know that keeps a souvenir like that. Like, Mommy, what's this? I'm like, what, throw it away. That's you. Just don't let anybody know about that.
Just take a picture.
Can I tell you this? I wasn't worried at all. I knew God hurts. They told Brother Frank Pat. They told you. Besides, you're crazy and everything else. They said you never walk, you never talk. They told y'all, they told all that crazy stuff, didn't they? They never met. You ever think Brother Frank Pat would have children? He's fine. I know these young ladies. I know one of them. Since today, she was this big. I'm a sister Winnie coming to church, dragging behind Brother Frank. Just waiting for the day she could get that baby out and get her done with. Had these other two fine girls, been for a long time. You know what? God hurt. God hurt Brother Frank. God's listening to preacher.
Yeah.
Say amen, Brother Bradley. God hurt. Don't think we stopped praying if you just haven't seen you in a year and a half.
Right.
We never stopped praying. I walked in. Daddy's sorry, didn't let me know nothing. He didn't let me know you were sick. He did pray for you. I didn't know that. Yeah, I said, Daddy's sorry, I'm gonna know nothing. I walked in, sir, she carried a little baby. I thought, my goodness, they're gonna get trouble for stealing that baby. God heard him the whole time, God. God just knew what they needed. It's good to have fellowship, isn't it, brother?
Sure is.
It's good to be close to him.
Amen.
It's good to have fellowship
nothing
tonight.
Like it.
Good to have fellowship in the Word of God tonight. Good
ain't
to have fellowship
like
with the brother tonight. I want to thank God for it.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord. Pastor, I'll turn the service over to you. Whatever you see fit to do.
I'll tell you this because it helped me. Just a young man starting out, and I had me a secret place. And I'd go in that secret place, Brother Goff. And by the way, it's so good to see men with their families. It really is. It's good to see men with their children. Amen. That's just so refreshing and so good. But I'd go in my secret place and pray. And I spit in that, brother, but you knock yourself out. And I'd go in that secret place and I'd pray from the bottom of my heart. And I thought, you know, that fervent prayer. And I'd pray like I was on fire, like the house was on fire. And Brother Goff, sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes I'd pray a little lower. But I would hear things when I prayed. I'd hear stuff, sound like somebody walked in the room. And I've been spooked before. People's literally walked in where I'm trying to plug into the glory world, and people's walked in behind me and tried to chime in with me. And I mean, you know, if I had a gun, I'd be in prison. But I would hear stuff, you know, and it would spook me. I'd be praying, and I'd have to get up and turn around and look and see what was going on, and try to refocus and go back into praying. And I sat down there in a tent meeting one night on the side of 301 in Lawley, Florida, and Brother Randy Bell, probably don't nobody know him, just a handful of folks. And he was a preaching on prayer on Thursday night. My pastor was making fun of why this man was in the pulpit on a Thursday night. He's a morning preacher. Why is he preaching on Thursday night? He's a morning preacher. Ah, that old so-and-so's messed up. Put him in the pulpit. And that man got to preaching on prayer. And he wasn't no pole-climbing, chandelier-swinging, snot-slinging, you know, night preacher, whatever that is. Showman. He wasn't a showman. He wasn't an entertainer.
That's right.
He was a Bible preacher and a Bible teacher. And that old man of God, seasoned, got up there and got to talking about the prayer. And he said, man, I had me a prayer closet. And he was out in his barn. He said, I'd be praying. He said, I'd hear the barn door open. He said, it scared me. Now, he had my attention. Mm-hmm. He said, it would scare me. He said, I'd get up and I'd look around. And he said, I'd go back and try to start praying. He said, I'd hear something else. He said, just I knew somebody didn't come in. He said, I got the propping pitchforks and shovels and stuff up against the barn doors and making sure couldn't nobody get in there without, you know, without really forcing the doors open. And I remember, man, that drew my attention because I remember taking some of them old Kruger chairs, them old fold-up chairs, and I'd check it up underneath the door handle and make sure couldn't nobody come in on my prayer closet. Still hearing them noises.
Yeah.
Old Randy said, you know what? I realized it was one that could walk through that door. My pastor's sitting there criticizing his preacher, and God's a feeding my soul. I went back to that prayer closet, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I know it seems weird to you, but it's just as real to me as everything that's sitting in this building tonight. Brother Pat and I got back in that prayer closet, and for some reason God let me into that holy place. And I heard him come in. Only this time it didn't scare me. I got up and I got in one of them chairs and I set it down beside of me and I sit in one. And I fellowship with him and he fellowship with me. Makes a difference. Oh, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing like it in the entire world when Jesus walks in. I thank God for all the good meetings I've ever been in. I thank God for all the good preaching. And man, I've been in some good meetings and I've been under some good preaching and I've heard a lot of great stuff. But I have never in my life got anything out of a meeting like I have in my personal walk with him. Never. Brother Pat, they ain't no quartets. They ain't no big to-dos. They ain't no big shining lights. It's just me and that Word of God sitting on a little old broke-down couch somewhere in a raggedy old house. And I sit there and read down through John chapter 4. And I see Jesus said, you'll never thirst. And God sitting on that couch with me and turned the light on. For the first time, I realized that he didn't say again. All the songs and all the testimonies said, you'll never thirst again. But Jesus said, you'll never thirst. And he showed me eternal security. He showed me eternal security sitting there on that broke down couch. When I say that, Brother McVeigh, I had bugs crawling out of the walls in that old dilapidated house. Amen. Sis, we had old bugs crawling. Termites would crawl out of the walls when we would turn that wood stove on. And I mean just in the dilapidated old nasty house. But thank God it was enough for Jesus to pass by.
Amen.
Nothing like it in the entire world, ladies and gentlemen. We can spend the rest of the week just going over and over and people sharing testimonies when Jesus fellowshipped.
Yeah.
Nothing like it. Riding down the road, brother. I mean, you all weird looking. Thank God got a good song going on the radio and Jesus comes in the car with you. Man, tears get to flowing. You get to rejoicing. People passing, looking at you. You couldn't care less because Jesus is in the car with you. Nothing like it.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Amen.
Hey. I'm going to read you this, and I promise you unto God I'm done. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to read you this. I want you to understand this. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected to the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Watch this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know what happens when you don't walk in fellowship with God? We could read on. The very earth that you're walking on is the creation of God. The birds that you hear chirping is the creation of God. The sun that shines is the creation of God. The waves that's crashing in the ocean is the creation of God. When you walk across that ground out of fellowship with God, that ground is groaning out to God. It's groaning. It's grieved in the very presence of your lack of fellowship. The earth is grieved for thy presence. Ain't that something? The ocean is grieved with our presence when we walk out of fellowship with him. I'm telling you that the ocean is satisfied. The birds in the sky are happy. The earth is rejoicing when we walk in fellowship with God Almighty. I'm telling you, the cows in the field, the horses, and all the creation of God rejoices when the people walk in fellowship with God who created it all. Divine plan of God Almighty. I don't deserve him. You don't deserve him. Mm-hmm. He deserves
right.
You.
Amen. That's right.
He deserves you. Amen. He deserves you for what? He deserves you to give him glory. Right. He deserves you to give him praise. He deserves you to walk in love and harmony and fellowship and peace with him. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you've done here tonight. Thank God for the fellowship that we have with Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege we have in prayer. I'm glad we have a high priest that's touched with our infirmities. I'm glad, God, that you're touched by our faith. Lord, I pray tonight, blessed God, that you'd help us, Lord, to pray. Teach us, Lord, to pray. I pray, blessed Father, that we would learn how to be effectual and fervent in our prayer life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk in fellowship. Thank you, dear God, for all that you've done. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Brother Goff, I want you boy to come preach for us sometime, all right? Real soon. Now, just give me a call. Give me a number. Call me. Don't be afraid to call me. And the man said he's been called to preach. I want you to come preach. Amen. We'd love to have you to come by. And amen. God bless you. You're at liberty. Do whatever you want to do.